So we go into our last hour here of open lines. I looked into a couple of loose strings from last hour, one of those being the Project Blue Beam. Oh, that's very interesting. This is a claim being made and on a couple of different websites. It's listed as something that might happen in 2012. There is a counterfeit second coming coming. Project Blue Beam will pretend to be the universal fulfillment of the prophecies of old. And this would be done similar to how that the Norway spiral was achieved, that there would be, using the manipulation of lights in the night sky, essentially making the sky to be a giant canvas, or better, I guess, a big movie screen, that they would project laser-generated images, holographic images, to different parts of the world, each reflecting an image, a religious image, that dominated in that part of the world, so that people would see something fantastic in the sky and that they would be more easily manipulated then and brought together. There's a lot of that on the web if you just want to Google that and you find out more. Different people have different interpretations of Project Blue Beam or Blue Beam Project, but you just heard one caller say that that's something which obviously this spiral in Norway was not, but it could be kind of a like a test of what might be coming. So look at that, of what they call that. Kind of a confirmation of the operation strategy, that if enough people look at it, something like that, the next time they might put up a religious image and see what happens then. What if they hung a cross like that over Norway? What would happen? Or what if it were, you know, the crescent moon? We'll keep you updated if anything more comes in on that. As for the DNA, as I went to Cryptomundo, which, of course, Lauren Coleman's website, just to verify, and I checked around a couple different places. I could not see any place where it was definitively said that the DNA testing indicated that it was a three-toed tree sloth that washed up on that beach in Panama, a hairless, perhaps a diseased tree sloth. Or maybe one that had just been exposed to losing its hair because it had been in some state of decay or on the ocean. I haven't been able to confirm that, but Lauren Coleman, I believe, definitively said that, in fact, it was. So reading on his website, it says it was a tree sloth that was washed up on the beaches in Panama. For whatever that's worth, I imagine there was probably some DNA test result that came out. I just haven't been able to find it so far. And that just clears up last hour, which means where are you going to take us this hour? We'll find out next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. We start with Luke, who's on the international line in southern Ontario for our last hour of open lines. Luke?
Good morning, Mr. Punnett. How are you?
I couldn't be better. Thank you so much. Where do you want to take us?
Well, I was thinking I could start off with a quick Catholic prophetic ghost story.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You have heard some Catholic stuff and some prophetic stuff, and you like ghost stories, so I thought I'd combine one all together.
All right.
What happened was my great-grandmother, actually, she lived in a house for 56 years, passed away shortly after they evicted her because she was paying, like, really low rent for this huge place because they could only raise it so fast.
Right.
So anyway, they kicked her out. She lived there for 56 years. They sold the building. There was a room in the house upstairs that I was terrified of all my life as a child growing up. I just never wanted to go in there. I don't know why. It was just a terrifying room. And the basement one was one of those ones where they just dug it out and never finished it. It was just dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's all cool and all that's creepy. You know, what I was always terrified of the basement and that one room upstairs. Well, anyway, Grandma got moved out. Later on down the road, this is actually a story in the local paper about it, made news and this and that. They leveled the house and they went to build some condominiums in there. And what happened was it was an old Catholic burial ground. And when they dug up the ground, they found all these coffins and people and headstones that the house had been buried over top the whole time.
Hmm.
And so now I'm kind of wondering where that creepy vibe was coming from. But what happened was one time I had a dream. My one aunt that had passed away from cancer came back, and she was talking to my great-grandma in that house. And it wasn't long after that that my great-grandma passed away, and I had to have that spiritual talk with her before she passed away too. So just kind of a weird bundle of until they found out that it was actually over a cemetery, and I was always terrified of it. And in the basement, we could have been moving a jar around and literally had a piece of dirt fall out, and there could have been a hand there.
Yeah.
It was, like, literally that close over top of the cemetery.
How about that? Very, very creepy, but very interesting.
Yeah, I thought I'd throw that out. But real quick, I just wanted to get into this 2012 a little bit. Oh, sorry, real quick about the spiral in Norway. I don't know. Why would they, if it was Project Bluebeam, why would they set it off with something so silly for us to look at right away, which leads me into 2012, like not a rocket. Like, why didn't they just project the big thing? If they want people to look at it, it should have been something worthwhile.
Well, maybe that's just the way to do it, is do something generic, what they call proof of concept. Just prove that they can do it. And then, give it a couple of weeks, and when people sort of forget about it, then come back and do something else. So
Yeah, I can see where it's just kind of weird that they sort of let it out of the bag. It's like, look, we can do this. Here, let's make it more
possible.
But anyway, but it leads into 2012, signs and wonders in the heavens, all these things that we're seeing. I've seen personally two meteorites or shooting stars. One I heard burn up. It was so close to me. And one I've seen come down in a field very close to where I was. I mean, and a lot more, all these meteor showers that are coming up, signs and wonders in the heavens, like all these end time prophecies from Revelations and all the books in the Bible. What are we supposed to do? I don't trust my own government. I'm from Canada, my own government. I really don't trust them very much anymore, especially with this whole abuse scandal, prisoners. No offense to any other country. I just don't trust the government. And what you got into it earlier, where are they leading us? Why are they trying to take us down this path? And I don't know why people aren't standing up and saying, what the heck is going on? Seriously, like, just stop, look around you. What is really going on? Like, why aren't people seeing this, and why aren't people waking up? And
to what though? I mean, this is the part where, I'm big on where the rubber hits the road, and I this is where I'm always kind of the party pooper on stuff like, but let me ask you, I mean, honestly, what you're doing is you're conflating two things, because there's nothing in the Bible that says 2012.
Right. No.
And actually, the Bible says specifically, if we're going to go by the book of Revelation, or about Christian theology in general, is that we won't know the time or the date.
I don't say it's going to be 2012, but I do feel there is a major something coming. I don't necessarily think it's going to be the rapture or the end of times as the Bible prophesies it necessarily, but I think there's something drastic coming, yes.
There are always changes coming on in our atmosphere, and if you make enough predictions, one day somebody will be right. So
I'm
with you on that to a point. I don't happen to think that that's what the book of Revelation was for. So I'm probably not your best conversation partner on that.
That's cool. Oh, no, I completely understand. The one thing that did scare me the most, really quickly before I go, I know you got lots of people waiting. The one thing that scared me the most, though, was, I've seen contrails, or what they call the contrails. I didn't know what they were until I heard about it on the show and looked into it a bit. I've seen a lot of contrails in my area, and I've noticed them. I remember seeing them many times, never thought much of them. I was in my backyard one morning, and I noticed this, man, there must have been a million spiders laying webs all night, because there was cobwebs on everything all over my grass, and you could see it in the dew. And they said that, actually, about 2 weeks later, I heard that that is a residual possible from chemtrails too.
Right, that's what you meant, chemtrails, right?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, that's something I remain in, I have an ongoing interest in and look forward to it. Next time something like that happens, capture that, put it in a jar, and take it over and have it examined. Find somebody in a local university that'd be willing to tell you what it is. And that's what I also believe, that's how any of these questions will be settled, is if we get proactive, not just passive, not just sitting there going, wow, I wonder what that is, but actually start to answer our own questions. Let me get to Angelina. She's in Manhattan on Coast to Coast. Angelina?
Oh, hey, good morning, Ian. Thanks for taking my call. Patience pays off.
Yes.
I want to talk to you about backwards American flags, but I want to lead into it by telling you something. I was in a building on Broadway and Liberty when the Trade Center came down with a large group of people watching it, and we all saw orange flashes go progressively down the side of the building as it fell down. Now, they did announce that they were going to demolish Building 7, and what I think happened is after they announced that, a lot of people started saying, hey, wait a minute, I saw the way Building 7 came down, it looked exactly like the way the towers came down, what's going on? So after that, then there was some revisionist, denial going on.
Okay. What about the flag? That kind of interests me that you mentioned at the beginning.
Well, right after 9/11, there was suddenly big flag decals on all the buses, but they were put on backwards. And since then, I've noticed some military personnel with backwards American flag patches on their arm, some without. I just saw a big thing about couple hundred National Guards came back from a year in Iraq. They were faded over at Fort Totten. Every single one of them had a backwards patch, American flag on backwards. Now, I'd always heard that that is a sign of a military coup. If I were to take over the control of your military, I would display your flag backwards as a kind of, FU, to show everyone, look what I got, look what I did. And I'm just seeing it more and more, these backwards American flags on military personnel.
Where had you heard that it was a sign of an American, of a coup?
I can't quote that specifically. I know your screener did say that she found a lot of information about it she Googled while I was on hold.
Right.
But I think that this could be something one of your coast-to-coast experts might, want to look into more and report back to us on it.
All right, I'll look into that. I hadn't heard about soldiers in an act of, treason or anything like that by wearing their flag backward. So if that's true, and they're, in some way signaling that they're going to try to take over the United States, I think that would be interesting. I thought I'd heard differently on the backward flag, but I know that there's a difference between people wearing the flag backward and upside down. Upside down implying, a soldier or situation in distress. But the backward flag I hadn't heard was supposed to be a sign of a coup, so I will look into that. Mike is in New York on Coast to Coast, east of the Rockies. Mike?
Okay. Hello, Ian. It's a pleasure to be on here.
Thank you. Glad to have you.
Long-time listener, and this is my first-time caller.
Glad to have you.
I have a whole bunch of topics I want to talk about, but I'll just pick the first one because it's easy.
Good.
All right. So I've read about 6 books of Zachariah Sitchin.
Great.
And to me, the $64,000 question is, who is Yahweh in this family tree of Sumerian and Egyptian gods? Whether it's a different name, is he somebody's father, son? Is he, she, it? Whatever it may be. Beyond this family tree of ancient astronauts that traveled from planet X or Nibiru. And he never gets there. At least the ones I've read, he's never answered that one very important question that would speak for the last 2,000 years of human history. And then it dawned on me, if you just incorporate the 1950s science fiction classic film The Forbidden Planet, you get a whole other interesting spin on the Zachariah Sitchin story. What if Yahweh, the Judeo-Christian Muslim god, is actually like Morbius, and he's really an ancient astronaut from a far-off planet that suffered from some kind of space madness that went and killed everybody on his exploration team that came to Earth, and realized that he needed to cover all of he, she, it's tracks along the way, because one day more explorers from Nibiru will come to Earth to see what happened to that failed exploration. So nobody.
You got the basis of a great script, if nothing else. I mean, that's a heck of a movie idea.
If you think of the movie Pi, or Kabbalah stuff, or how Muslims say you can't depict the prophet any pictures of, you can't have any pictures of God. To know. The Judeo-Christian or the Judeo-God's name is this great power, and you'll immediately be ascended up to heaven and see him, her, it face to face.
I don't know about that. I think that you got a couple of things kind of bundled all in there. You're not supposed to make an image of the prophet Muhammad.
Conceptually, it would come back to the same idea of this mysterious entity that you're. That we're all worshiping for several thousand years could really just be somebody who, maybe in a fit of passion, who knows why or what, I don't know. I mean, obviously I have No proof.
But the idea is still us.
We've all been worshiping this possible murderer for thousands of years.
It's a compelling idea. Interesting idea. I would go see that movie. I got to say it again. Or I would read that book. If you put that together, it sounds very entertaining. And I think you got a little more research to do to kind of make sure you got your traditions all straight in there, but I won't get into that now. I'll just say great job. And west of the Rockies, Ivan is in Stockton on Coast to Coast. Ivan?
Oh, good morning, Ian. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, something to relate to. It blew my mind at the time. Now, in late summer 2002, I'm working at a rent-a-car agency, and a group of about six women come in, college-looking type, and pick up an Astro van, of all things. So we're standing in a semicircle, and they would start asking me, could I show them how to operate the automatic transmission? And we weren't supposed to do that. Once a customer, you know, comes to pick up a car, they're supposed to know how to drive it, and just leave the garage and go.
Right.
So we're standing in a semicircle, and there was the tallest one, she was blonde, and she had the strangest eyes. And just as she glanced at me, she spoke to me telepathically. She said, I love to stay and talk with you, but I got to stay with my friends right now. And I heard her say that inside my head without her lips moving. And so that sort of intrigued me.
Hmm.
And as I was standing at her left side, I noticed glancing in her eyes and then looking away and glancing again. That if you can imagine a pinwheel, you know how they're striped. One stripe
yeah.
is one color, and then the next.
Sure.
Her eyes were white and yellow striped all around her iris. They were white and yellow striped, and there was no black border distinction around the color part of her eyes.
Hmm.
And they were just clear white, and it was the strangest thing. And I just had to relate that to you.
So this isn't a dream. You experienced this.
Yeah, this was late summer, August 2002.
I'm just checking. What happened when they returned it?
No, well, they just picked up the van, and I did get in the van and showed them how to operate the automatic
right.
transmission.
But did they have to return it to your location?
No, it was one of those deals where they just pick it up and they return it at the airport or either back or at another location. It was like
okay,
a one-way rental.
I would be seriously curious where they ended up. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Don't you want to know where they ended up?
In a way, and I stayed there for a whole nother year thinking she might come back and say something. It was the strangest encounter I ever had.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, let me know if you ever find out anything more about that. I'd look into that. Don't you want to find out if they went to the Washington, D.C., or they went to Camp David, or, well, Josie is in Wisconsin on Coast to Coast. Josie?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just wondering, well, first of all, I'm glad you're doing well and everything, because enough people ask you that, so I don't have to ask you.
No, you don't. But I'm great. Thank you.
I'm going to go to a really different subject. Lately, I've been watching a tape on that movie Fargo.
Yep.
You remember that? And it happened in Minneapolis and Brainerd.
I live Fargo.
You live Fargo.
Yeah, I mean, in a very fun way. I really enjoy Fargo, although many native Minnesotans kind of resent it. I think it's very entertaining. But you had a question?
Oh, I think it is one of the most fascinating and horrifying character studies that I've seen on film like that. I mean, that movie is fabulous. But
I
was wondering, you know, I mean, those two guys that committed those murders, and also the one who started it all, you know, that's why I think they call it Fargo, because that's where it started.
Right.
And you met them.
We're going to run out of time here, so you're going to have to hang on. To get to the question, we'll have to come back, and we'll do it coming up. It's Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. So, looked at a couple of things here in the last few minutes just to try and see if we could find anything on it. I couldn't find one thing that confirmed what a previous caller had said, that soldiers wearing a backward American flag arm patch are indicating that they are going to launch a coup. This was a way of recruiting people into the military coup of the United States. It sure didn't have the ring of truth to me, but you know, I can't be an expert on something like that when it's a whole new idea. So we'll go to the phones here coming up in just a second. I understand somebody has some personal knowledge on this. What does it mean when U.S. soldiers Wear the Flag Patch Backward next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Still had Josie standing by, and she was just getting to her question. She loves the movie Fargo. And so, Josie, you had a question?
Oh, yes. Hi. I was wondering what happened to the guy that was caught by the pregnant woman, a policewoman.
Right.
And also the guy that originated all that, all it incredible happening. You know, the one who had his wife kidnapped. To start the whole thing off.
Right. I'm not sure. Fargo, as I understand it, is based on a true event or true...
It's totally true.
Well, I don't know about... Okay, go ahead.
The guy that killed five people, the policeman that stopped him on the road, that was the first murder.
Right, right. No, I understand. I'm just going by what I understand about the movie. I'm a fan of the movie. And
okay.
And the Coen brothers are... as talented as they are, they also,
yep.
they're kind of mischievous. So they often make claims that aren't true. So when they say that the movie is based entirely on true events, I don't know if we can believe them. And I only say that because in a lot of their movies, they make kind of similar claims about the history of things. I do think that... that it may be based on some true events, and then they just kind of pulled out the rest of it from there. I think there were a couple of cases that they pulled together to make one story. So does that make sense?
Really?
Yeah.
Because that one guy supposedly killed five people. The policeman, the two people that happened to drive by, and then he chased them in the car. They had an accident, and he shot them execution style. And
right.
then he ended up killing the lady that was kidnapped and
right.
also his accomplice, and he put
right.
him in the wood chipper.
Right, right, and, right, yeah. And all I can tell you is I'm a fan of the movie. I've seen and read about the movie over the years. I think it's a highly entertaining movie. I just don't think it's a recreation of an historical event. I think it may be a couple of different crimes that interested them. Certainly the wood chipper crime was a separate event, I believe, that they pulled into the story, but I don't, that was the man and his wife and the wood chipper, as awful as that sounds to talk about. So I'll just say, suss around for that on the internet, go to imdb.com or wiki it or something and take a look to see whether or not you see that it's a true event as it, you know, is this almost like a documentary or something? I don't think so. I think they had a lot of fun with that by saying it's a true event because they're the Coen brothers and they do that sort of thing. Becky is in New York, first time caller line. And Becky, I understand you might be able to answer the question about the backward flag arm patch a previous caller said was a sign that soldiers were going to be pulling a military coup. What do you know about that?
Hi, Ian. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a soldier, and the simplest explanation I can give is if you took your flag, attached it to a pole, picked it up, and marched or charged forward, the field of blue stars would be in the front. And the reason why we wear the arm patch is because we're always charging, marching into battle. If you wore a flag on your arm as if you were looking at it, it would mean that the flag is running away from the battle.
I love that, and I fully accept that. That's what I thought it meant. But so you're telling me then that if you walk around with a backward flag, other soldiers aren't coming up to you saying, "So you're in the coup? You're in the coup?" You know that it's not. This is not a conversation that's going on among soldiers.
No, sir. Every soldier wears the patch of the flag the same way, and every soldier is tasked with knowing what each patch, flag, badge they wear in uniform means, and that's why soldiers are given the explanation of the way that the flag is worn. And that's the way that's the way it's pictured on the front of a bus is because the bus is moving forward.
Sure.
And that's
I
the
totally
way the flag would unfurl.
Tell me, what's your deployment like these days, Becky?
it's a pretty rigid schedule.
Are you headed back out to Afghanistan or Iraq anytime soon?
Well, probably within the next 18 months.
Okay. Well, thank you for serving your country, and thank you for serving us by jumping in on that phone call.
Thank you, Ian.
God bless you. Have a good night. And I'm sure Reveille comes early. Doug is a paperboy in Houston, and he happens to be next up on the open lines on Coast to Coast. Doug?
Hey. All right. Hey. So I was, I don't know, how can I start this out and be brief still? You know, when you're a kid, you believe in the Easter Bunny, and then later on you're like, wow, man, that sucks. So here I am older in life, and I'm realizing, hey, you know that propaganda they used to talk about China and Russia have, and we kind of have a little bit of that too, I think. And I was wondering, with everything going on with the economy and people still not spending money, is it so much that we're scared, or is it the common people's only way to actively vote and show, and there's no way that they can hide it?
I'm not sure and I know then, what you mean. What do you mean, actively hide what?
Well, like, if everyone just said, you know what, we're sick of the crap. If we don't buy anything, the economy's going to be taking its toll, and you can't hide that we're upset then. Kinda. You know, like, at first we were all scared to spend the money, but then I was like, well, you know what, if the economy tanks, that dollar you saved isn't worth anything anyway. So I was trying to figure out why people socially would be not spending during, like, Christmas as much as normal, and I don't think it's people are as... They're strapped, of course, for cash, but I mean, really, I know there's a lot of good people out there that would spend money on, you know, gifts for other people or needy and stuff that aren't spending it, not because they don't have it. It's almost like they're saying, you know what, we're not doing nothing until we get the truth, kind of.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I haven't heard anybody say that. I've been hearing people say, I think we're going to save money because we got kids going through college. We've got all this stuff coming up. That's what I'm hearing. But
it's going to be worse. But, but what I'm saying is, in the end, isn't it, hey, we're not buying this crap you've been selling? And the only way the government can respond is, oh, well, unemployment. Oh, but in the end, you know, if we don't buy it, they don't sell it. They don't make it. They don't need people to make it. And we haven't been in the service industry for a while. So when that unemployment stuff hit, except for like the car industry, a lot of it was just people that signed papers lost their job, like these Ponzi scheme guys.
Right.
So the
right.
rich is the ones that don't, they don't have money, even though they have money, and that money is becoming worth less. So you're almost having the middle class overthrow them economically on accident, in my mind. I mean,
well,
maybe
right.
I'm not.
Well, no, I just haven't heard anybody say that. You may be right. And that may be a groundswell of anti-government protests I hadn't heard of. People intentionally not spending money just to throw a spanner in the works. So we'll keep an eye on it. Interesting theory. Could happen. Zachariah is in Indianapolis on Coast to Coast. Zachariah?
Hey, Ian. Great show.
Thank you. Where do you want to go with this?
Okay, I had an idea that I would I was gonna share with you. I'm not, you know, you can give me your opinion on it if you care to. As far as now, I personally believe that we are not alone on this earth. Okay, so I don't want what I'm about to say to make it seem like I don't think there are other forms of life in existence. But I'm of the belief that we all somewhat have a shared consciousness, you know, kind of like they talk about in that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know, where they talk about how they had a large group of people concentrate on like a more peaceful Washington, D.C. I think it was for like a month or 6 months or whatever. And the crime rate fell by like 15 or 20% during that time period. Anyway, I think that all these new occurrences, these new phenomena, like you have with the spiral, the that cloud that was somewhere in Europe, I can't remember, like a month or two ago. I think all of that is kind of in relation to just everyone through the force of the media talking about it. I think it's really just everyone's focus has been turned towards, we're looking for something now, you know, especially coming closer to 2012. Everyone's looking for, you know, either a ship to come out of the sky, you know, and let us know what's really going on in the universe, the world to end. So you have all these, all these thoughts
right
now that are being generated towards, you know, experiencing something new or being let in on something that, you know, we have been suspecting for a while. And
okay,
so in a way, it's kind of generating all these phenomena that seem
okay
to be happening more rapidly.
Okay. Could be. I think we bleeped you in there, but did you say ship with a P coming out of the sky?
Yeah, ship.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Like a spacecraft, I'm sorry.
Sure didn't sound like that to us. So we had to bleep you on that one. Let's get to David, who's in Canada, as we're winding down open lines, trying to get everybody in before the top of the hour on Coast to Coast. David?
Yes, hi. I think somebody just had a practical joke and just shaved a sloth and left it there for somebody to ponder at. But what I'm calling about is that I know people are going to go, oh, no, not another one. This JFK assassination, you look at the Zapruder film, there was somebody about a week or so ago that said that there was a possibility that the impact on the president's head was put in there. Whether or not that's true or not, the thing is I've been doing, and I've done this 26 times, I have it on videotape, I've been using mannequin heads, I've been using Jell-O, okay, and I have made the same shot in the same kind of area, same distance or angle that supposedly Lee Harvey Oswald did, and every single time I come out, the exact same thing, absolutely not at all like the Zapruder film. If you look at the shot, what happens is the exit wound is on the right-hand side of the president, right where the camera sees it. So it could not have been from the grassy knoll behind. It had to have been from another area, from the other side. In other words, he was shot in the left. And I'm surprised that nobody has ever looked at this and went, huh, oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, I don't know if you've ever shot a gun in your life, but if you shoot a gun, the bullet goes in, it expands, and comes out larger on the other side. So that's exactly what comes out every single time. When I do and take the shots on the left-hand side and fire, it comes up to the exact same thing that you see in a Zapruder film.
Well, if you had to give a quick conclusion of your own experiment, David, what would it be?
The experiment is Lee Harvey Oswald was a number one shot, okay? There is proof that he was an excellent marksman. But regardless of his excellent marksmanship, the fact is the bullet would have to hit the back of the head and then take a quick, fast U-turn to the right and exit out of the right-hand side of the president. And that's, I've done the shot, I don't know how many times, I've got it on videotape, and I've never been able to make the shot except for when I shot from the left. In other words, the field on the left. Not the grassy knoll, but the opposite side.
Right. Have you YouTubed any of that?
I have not YouTubed any of that. I just I was just very shocked that has never come up. I mean, it's so obvious. Anybody goes hunting, anybody out there who shoots, you try the same experiment with a pumpkin or anything, okay, you're going to see the exact same result every time.
Well, if you ever do post any of these Jell-O shots, to coin a phrase, would you send the link to whoever is the webmaster so we could link that up? I think it'd be really interesting. If you videotape them, as you said, and you want to post them, I'm sure people would love to take a look at them. And just you can always find the link for the webmaster at the website, coasttocoastam.com. Jerry is in Connecticut on Coast to Coast as we're winding down for open lines. Jerry?
How's it going, Ann?
Good. Where do you want to take us?
I wanted to talk about a couple things, but I only got enough time to talk about one thing about Project Bluebeam.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've seen a lot of things myself that, you know, that nobody would believe anyway. Yeah, because there's been a lot of sightings and there's been a lot of stuff going on, but you know, you can't take anything for granted because there's been a lot of stuff that's going on, from sightings to meteors. Because I read one time about a meteor that two scientists went to some meteor crash site, and when they went there, there weren't nothing there.
Okay.
It was actually blue beam or something that kind of like manipulated the imagery or something. It looked real, but when they went to the site, there weren't nothing there. You know, because when they present something like a religious figure, you know, like up in the sky, I know people are going to buy right into it.
Well, definitely be some people that will, and I don't know that everybody will, but I think it'll be if anybody ever really attempts to do that. If they time that out just right and they do it in front of just the right crowd, they pick just the right image, of course, I think it'll increase the odds that something like that might work. But I think there will also be a lot of people who will be suspicious immediately of the technology possibilities that's creating a holographic image like that. It would depend what the image does, too. So thanks for that thought. Mary's in Georgia, wrapping things up on open lines. Mary, where do you want to take us?
I want to know about the symbolism in the Freemasonry, where they have the chimney, and they call it the chimney sweep, and they put a person in the chimney. in a book called Symbolism. And when the person fell in Utah, I was thinking about the symbolism where they said that the person was down in the cave with his feet hanging out.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know what you think about that symbolism in the Freemasonry, where they actually, when they do their rituals, they put a person in a chimney. And I have heard people speak out in public. I hear them, and I think they are Freemasons speaking in their codes about putting people in chimneys.
You know,
what are your thoughts on that?
I hadn't thought of, the tragedy of that poor person that was caught. Are you talking about the person that was caught upside down in that, when they were spelunking in that cave?
Yes.
Okay. And just so I understand, are you alleging that there's some connection with that and perhaps Freemasonry? Mary?
I'm concerned about, because I hear a lot of things on the news, and some of the things is called dissimulation or giving misinformation or communicating in codes about things that's happening or going to happen.
I understand that. I just hadn't thought about that in terms of that poor person that was caught upside down in that cave that they closed up, because that will be then his tomb, because they didn't want to risk anybody else going down and get his body. I hadn't heard about a chimney sweep symbol in Freemasonry. So you've caught me unprepared for that, but one of many tonight, and I'll go back and I will see what I can find out about that. I do have a comprehensive book about Freemasonry, and I've read through it. I think I read through it recently, but I don't remember seeing that. But now you've got me curious. Ken is in Denver on Coast to Coast, and Ken, we're just going to wrap it up here in about a minute, so you got to be brief.
Make it as fast as I can, take it in a real different direction. First, just real quickly, notice the backwards flag on the soldier. It'll be on the right arm because it is, again, going into battle.
Sure.
Yeah. Just going off topic or going into a strange direction, I want to know about your home studio and your broadcasting. I used to be a DJ years ago.
Did
never
you?
Had a home studio, so I'm wondering, you know, what the setup is and how you connect. Is it ISDN line? Is it
yep,
a mixer board and all that?
I don't even need a mixer board, believe it or not. The technology is so good. And thank you for asking. I get occasionally somebody asks about this, so it's a good way for me to try to answer this question to more than one person anyway. We have two ISDN lines that come into this studio. It's about 10 foot by 6 foot. It's perfectly, it's sort of, designed very well to give us a nice warm sound. There's a minimum of insulation up on the walls, and the, have double insulated windows and a very thickly insulated door. And that's it. I have two freestanding mic, I have two mics on booms. And then we run a line between here and L.A. so that I can tell who's on the phones. But it's kind of a standard, you know, software program to be able to tell, you know, remote locations who's on phones. Probably the same program they use in McDonald's when people order the drive-through, but it's answered in South Dakota or something. It's probably the same program.
Can I get a large orange drink?
I'll get that right to you right away. By the way, have you tried our new Coca-Cola collector cups, sir, for just an extra dollar? God bless you. Have a great night, and thank you, everybody, for making open lines so fun and challenging. I'll look into some of these questions that we had hanging out there and see if we can't get an answer coming up in the days ahead. In the meantime, no matter where you are, Deus te amat. Oh, wait, happy Hanukkah, too, to a lot of people. Deus te amat, and I do, too.